May the Lord help us to commence our service this afternoon with hymn 135. 135. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Hymn 135. Let us read from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 8, and we will commence reading at verse 22. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 22 to the end. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God most high? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found a man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most gracious and most merciful Lord God, how we need thee once more to teach us how to pray. And oh, we pray that thou wilt grant us that grain of faith to believe. Thou wilt hear and answer our cries and our groans and our secret petitions, as well as those in public. And O Lord, as we venture to the throne of thy grace, oh, we would come pleading the precious name of the dear Lord Jesus. That name, dear Lord, we've been singing of this day. A name that's just suited to every sinner's case. The name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, for a truly broken, a contrite heart, a heart to truly seek thee and to serve thee. Oh, do save us, Lord, from ourselves. Save us from this bewitching world that adds to death 10,000 hold. And oh, that thou wilt save us from all our many, many sins. Thou wilt grant us that heart of real repentance and godly sorrow, to truly mourn and weep over them and confess them before thee. And oh, we pray thou would have mercy upon us. Thou would blot out all our sins, as a thick cloud thou hast promised to, and remove all our transgressions. And oh, that we may be accepted in the Beloved. We pray, dear Lord, to be sincere seekers of thee, that we may seek thee and serve thee in sincerity and in truth. May we be ever humbled at thy dear feet, and be as the dear man we have read of, Legion. Oh, do favour us, Lord, at this season of the year, and in the coming year, if it's thy holy will, that we may know much of what it is to sit at the feet of Jesus and be clothed and in our right minds. Oh, do make us real followers of thee. May we follow, Lord, thy sweet commands and thy guiding hand continue. And oh, that we may ever be found leaning hard upon thee, and be as the bride of Christ of old, leaning upon her Beloved. For Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, we pray for the divine influence and help of thy Holy Spirit this afternoon. May we sweetly prove it is no vain thing to serve the living God. But oh, that we may serve thee in reverence and in godly fear. And oh Lord, do grant us that eye of faith to continually look to. And oh, we would be found casting all our cares upon thee. But oh Lord, may we have the sweet assurance that thou carest for us. We pray thou wilt meet the cases of thy dear people this afternoon. Thou wilt suit thy word to every sinner's case. And may those, Lord, that may need thee in some special way, see thy hand working wondrously, appearing for them, and may they be like dear Manoah and his wife, and look on while the uncreated angel, the Lord Jesus, works wondrously. And oh, that we may yet see the wonders God alone can do. And oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt give us that enduring grace that we might endure to the end. Oh Lord, thou knowest what concern it is lest we should just come to the end. But oh, that we may be amongst those that endure them. For thou didst say, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And oh, how we need that enduring grace. And be like dear Moses, who endured as seeing him who is invisible. And oh Lord, do comfort all that are weeping and mourning. Thou knowest, Lord, how thy dear people need that heavenly comforter. We pray that thou wilt fulfil thy sweet promise, as thou didst to thy dear disciples. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Lord, we pray that we may know that blessed experience that they did when thou didst come again to them and turn their sorrow into joy. Do help us, Lord, to pray one for another and to bear one another's burdens. And may love flow from heart to heart. Do help us to esteem each other better than ourselves to be. May Christ be first and Christ be last and Christ be all in all. And O Lord, may it please thee to bless the dear children and remember them with the favour thou bearest to thy people. And O do raise up from among them those that shall fear thy holy name and shall seek thee and serve thee, and shall be raised up to be pillars in Zion, and ask for the old paths. Do keep them in these evil days, and hear the prayers of the dear parents for their children, Lord. And oh, that thou wouldst raise up those that shall be pillars in Zion, when many of us are taken from this earth, Lord. We pray that thou wilt bless the young people too, to guide them, direct them, help them to pray their way along. And may they prove that thou art that prayer hearing and prayer answering God, and that thou canst do for them far exceeding abundantly than they can ask or think. Remember those in affliction's pathway, dear Lord. Many are laid aside, some in deep afflictions, Lord. We pray for each one, Lord. Thou knowest how many we would gather up in our arms before thee and plead for thy appearing for them. If it's thy will, do send that needed healing and restoring mercy. And, O Lord, do make each bed in each affliction. And may these things all be sanctified, that out of the bitter may come forth that which is sweet. Do be with those that are bereaved, Lord. Do make up the breach, we pray. And, O, may the death of one and another be the means in thy hand of calling many by grace. And oh, may there be a bringing back of prodigals, and may there be those yet born again, and those brought to cry out, men and brethren, what must I do to be saved? And Lord, We do pray that thou wilt look upon the deacons and help them and do guide them and direct them in all the things concerning thy house, and help the dear friends to pray for them. And we pray, dear Lord, that the hymns they give out may be thy choice and made a blessing to thy dear people. May there be those sweet times of flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. And, O Lord, do add to the church, if it please thee, both at Swavesey and our own flock at home, precious souls. For thou hast said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. We pray thou wilt remove all that hinders thy dear people from venturing in thy way. So do remove, Lord, all the hindrances, if it would please. There may be those in able to say, hinder me not, ye much loved saints, for I must go with you. Our dear Lord, as dear Abraham's servant said, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. And, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt help thy dear servants to anoint thy servant with our own flock this afternoon. May he come with a message from heaven. And may there be that real fruit to follow, Lord. Do bless all the labours of thy dear servant. We pray that thou wilt use them to thy honour, to thy glory, for the good and establishing and blessing of thy people and the building up of thy church. Lord, do grant them those sweet encouragements, that they labour not in vain, nor spend their strength for naught. And, O Lord, do appear, we pray, and for Zion, and oh, may the crooked things be made straight, the rough places plain. And may we yet see the wonders God alone can do. And, O Lord, do make us right and keep us right in our own hearts and paths, Lord. And, do save us from settling down short and just having a name to live and yet be dead. May we be real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. We pray that thou wilt appear in the nation. Lord, what can we say? Sin and iniquity runs down our streets, Lord, and a few take heed to the solemn things that are happening in the land. We beg of thee to appear and turn the hearts of many from serving Satan and serving themselves and serving sin and serving this world to serve thee. And oh, may there be raised up yet many that shall tremble before the ark of God, and to acknowledge that thou, the Lord God omnipotent, reignest. We pray that thou wilt give wisdom, Lord, to our leaders and rulers, and oh, that thou wilt show them thy way and not their own way or the way of man. But may these things, Lord, be a voice to us. For, Lord, we know not what a day or an hour will bring forth. And thou knowest how, Lord, the plague is gaining pace, as it were, in this land and throughout this part of the land, Lord. We pray that there may be a cure for it, if it's thy will, and the vaccinations prove successful. But, O Lord, we seek for thee to appear. nor that thou wouldst hear the cries of those that sigh and cry over the abominations done in the land. Nor do come, Lord, and appear in the case of us leaving the European Union. We pray that our government may not sell us out to Europe, but we may yet once again be a sovereign land. And we pray thou would help them to stand firm for that which is right, and or to overturn and overthrow all the laws that are contrary to thee and to thy word. And may we yet see better days in this land. Do hear and answer the cries of thy people, we beseech thee. And oh, do remember all that we would and should pray for, that in famine, those in war-torn lands, those under much persecution, those that feel to be at the ends of the earth, may they be enabled to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And, O Lord, do help us to praise thee for all thy great mercies. Oh, we do seek for a heart to love and praise thee more. And, oh, that thou wouldst be with us now and help us as we sing thy praises. And may those sacred words that we sing, Lord, in the hymns be the real experience of our hearts. And we know the blessings that those dear hymn writers knew, may we each know them personally. Do forgive what we've uttered amiss, Lord, and make up where we so fail, and help us to turn to thy holy word, and oh, that thou would shine upon the sacred page. And oh, do reveal the beauties there are in the dear Redeemer, and may be to us each the one thing that is needful. Do hear us now in heaven, thy dwelling place, when thou dost hear, forgive, as we seek to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. Amen.
Hymn 731. Heal us, Emmanuel, here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair, and Saviour, we are such. Hymn 731.
Heal us, Emmanuel.
Seeking the Lord's divine help and your prayerful attention, I'd again direct you to the first, the book of the, Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 19. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. And verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. We tried to look a little this morning at, firstly, the great need to be emptied, that we might seek for the Lord to enable us to draw from that blessed fullness in him. And then, secondly, the great need of grace. And oh, what a fullness of grace there is in the dear Redeemer. And then the fullness of pardon. And how a poor sinner needs it continually. And then finally, the wonderful light that the Lord Jesus brought into this earth to those precious souls when he came that saw him, such as the shepherds and dear Mary, the mother of Christ, and Simeon and Anna. But as help this afternoon, I want to look at it in a few further ways. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And the first thing that's upon one's spirit is this, the great need of life. And as the Lord gives his dear people and gives us each life, all mankind, it's only as the Lord gives a little babe life when it is born, that it can live to enjoy the things of this earth. But think about it particularly spiritually. And where does that life all flow from? It flows from the blessed fullness that there is in the dear Lord Jesus. Did he not say to his dear disciples, before he went to Calvary and before he was laid in the tomb, those beautiful words, and before his resurrection, because I live, ye shall live also. Very sacred words they are. And may the Holy Spirit whisper them into each of our hearts. Because I live, ye shall live also. The Lord gives his dear children life in their souls, so they can feel their sin, they can feel their guilt, and they feel the need of the dear Redeemer, and the need of his precious blood, and the need of him to do everything for them. And, we think of dear Job. We think of what he said. Thou gavest me, speaking to the Lord, thou gavest me life and favour, and thy visitation preserveth my spirit. And oh, how dear Job sweetly experienced that life divine in his soul, and that real desire that a precious Jesus might be the one thing needful to him. And what did he say? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, what a mercy it is. The Saviour lives, in that beautiful hymn. I think it's 751, No More to Die. He lives, the Lord enthroned on high. And if you read it at your leisure, it's a very precious hymn, and it all flows through the dear Lord Jesus. And may we know the sweet experience of it. And then we think too of what the Apostle Paul said in writing to the Galatians. And I think it's in that second chapter and toward the end of it, and we read this. I am crucified with Christ. And then he speaks these beautiful words. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, what a blessed word that is, and may the Holy Spirit apply it to us this afternoon. There's much in us that needs crucifying, but oh, that our souls might live, and Christ lives in his dear people. Oh, he does. He's their life, their all. What did the apostle say to the Philippians? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And oh, how vital that life is. And it all flows through his blessed fullness, the fullness of life. You think of it once, and I speak it solemnly and yet reverently. As soon as our life here is finished, everything dies, every part of the body, and everything that we have enjoyed in time state has to perish. But oh, what a mercy if we've got life in our souls. What did Jesus say concerning his sheep? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness of life dwell. And poor soul, is he thy life? You think of it in the reality of it in your as you live and you walk and you go about your business or schooling or whatever it may be. Oh, is he thy life? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, the apostle got nothing else to live for. Jesus was the one thing needful. And in him, all he needed was to be found. Well, much could be said, and many sermons on that sacred point. The fullness of life, the life that flows through the dear Redeemer. But there's this part too, which I must just name. We cannot keep alive our own souls. Dear David, in Psalm 22, he said, didn't he, that none can keep alive his own soul. It's only the Lord that keeps us alive naturally, and it's only the Lord that can keep the soul of the child of God alive. And when he keeps us alive, we shall be lively characters in the vital things of God. And are to be found among his living family. And we read, don't we, in the book of Ecclesiastes, I think it is, that a living dog is better than a dead lion. For he that is joined to the living, there is hope. And you know, when dear Ruth was to be brought out of Moab, there was nothing that satisfied her there. The Lord had killed her of it all. She wanted to be found among the living family of God. The hymn writer said, with them numbered may I be, now and through eternity. But then, another point that's upon one's spirit is this. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, the fullness of his power. And you may have wondered why there were several reasons why we read together that blessed chapter this afternoon, that eighth chapter. It's a wonderful chapter of the power of the dear Saviour. And you see, there's a wonderful fullness in that power that he manifested throughout that chapter. Let us just hint at a few things that's helped. Firstly, when the dear disciples and the Saviour too was in that ship, and the storm arose and they were on the lake and were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And those dear disciples, you know, had no power to control those waves. They had no power to control the wind. But the dear Redeemer was in that ship with them. Oh, he was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And they awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. And then we see the fullness of his power manifested. But before I name it, there may be those of you that are walking through some stormy scenes, whether it be in your soul or in your pathway. And oh, you can't control those waves, can you? You cannot control the winds that's buffeting you, the winds of Satan, the winds of sin, and the winds of unbelief. But the dear Redeemer can. And oh, that you might draw, and me too, from that fullness there is in him, the fullness of his power. And what did he do? Well, they awoke him saying, Master, Master, we perish. And he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Oh, poor soul, when the Lord arises in his power, he can still those storms you're in a moment. Oh, he can. He can still the wind that so buffets you and tosses you around. And he has all power to do it. Oh, the fullness of his power. You can never describe it, can you? So great is his power. And this is the wonders that the Saviour wrought while here upon the earth, one of them. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Oh, think of that wonderful fullness of his power. And then too, you think of the next case we read of, Legion, the mad Gadarene. No man could tame him. But oh, the Lord Jesus was to wonderfully manifest his power. And what was he to do? He was to cast the legion of devils out of the dear man. You know, if we know our own heart, there are many devils in us. We need the Lord to cast out. And he was to do this for this dear man. You see, no man could tame him. He was out of the reaches of all men. The devil was trying to destroy him. And how wonderfully the Saviour worked. And cast out all those devils that were within him. And we read, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entering into him. And we find how wonderfully the Lord worked, manifested that great power to cast them out. And oh, may we see it in this dark and solemn day. And we read this, and there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And what about the dear man now? Oh, well, we see it here. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Oh, no more a hard man, humbled at the feet of Jesus. You know, I've often said, and it's so blessed really, that's one of the safest places a poor sinner can be found, at the feet of Jesus. And oh, how he was clothed, you see, with the Lord's love. He was clothed with humility. He was clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And in his right mind. When is it we're in our right mind? When all we want is the Lord. When he is the one thing needful. All other things will fade away. So we see here the wonderful power, the fullness of his power, in not only just casting the devils out, but to bringing the dear man to sit at his feet, clothed and in his right mind. But just before I leave that, the dear man wanted to dwell at the feet of Jesus. You know, if the Lord brings you there, you're saying, your poor heart, Lord, do keep me there. Don't let anything intrude to mar me being at thy feet. May we ever be there. But you see, the Lord was to command him what to do. And he said this, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done. He got something to tell of, hadn't he? And there may be those of you today, you've got those things of his fullness to tell of, to speak of. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to speak of the wonders God alone has done for us, and to speak them from our hearts in humility and love to the honour and glory of his great and holy name, to tell of the wonders he has wrought, and oh, what a favour it is to be able to tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour we have found. And may there be those in this dark and solemn situation that we're in the nation, yet brought to tell the king's household what great things God has done for them. And we read in our text that the dear apostle spoke to those in Colossae. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Oh, the fullness of his power. And then, of course, we have the two wonderful cases that followed it. First, and I would sort of go to Jairus' daughter first, because you look at the wonderful power the Lord manifested, the fullness of his power in raising her from death unto life. You think of the great burden it was to dear Jairus. He had that one only daughter, about 12 years of age. She lay a dying. And as he went, the Saviour had to deal with the case, which I want to look at in a moment, of the dear woman with the issue of blood. But you see, the wonders of the Lord were to be wonderfully manifested. And while he thus spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Oh, it seemed as though what he greatly feared had come upon him. And not only this, but what a great loss he was to experience. But look at the faith given to the dear man, to believe that the Saviour could make her whole. And what do we read? How Jesus, I think it's how beautifully Jesus answered them when they said, "Trouble not the Master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Oh, may the Lord appear for any of you that need him to appear, whatever way it may be, in your soul, in the pathway, or whatever you might be in, to speak such a word to you. Sacred words they are. Fear not, believe only. You may say, if only I could believe. The Lord can remove all that unbelief in a moment, all those doubts, all those fears. And this was a word from heaven, from the Saviour himself, to Jairus. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And then, of course, he went into the house and we read, when he was come into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." Oh, let us pause a moment. There may be those of you today, you've got many things to make you weep over. But, oh, poor soul, he has promised that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And, poor soul, he has a wonderful fullness of power to turn that weeping that you may be in into joy. Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. You see how old nature can creep in and laugh like Sarah did when the Lord said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord that she should bring forth Isaac?" But you see, the Lord has all power in heaven and in earth. The fullness of his power is so manifested to his dear children. And here Jairus was to experience it. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." Clear words, weren't they? He was to give her life, you see, like we looked at just now. He was to give her life. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Oh, think of that wonderful experience which Jairus had, and prove the power of the Saviour and the fullness of it. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Excuse me. But then another point that has so been with me since this text came was the fullness of healing that he was to give to his dear people. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, the fullness of healing. You see, he can heal every disease, whether it be of body, of soul, of mind. If it's his holy will and he manifests that will. And think about it concerning this dear woman with the issue of blood. She had not had it a day or two. She'd had it for 12 years. She got weaker and weaker and weaker. All her strength was failing. No physician, no doctor of this earth could do her good. And what did she do? She came behind him. She believed that if she could but touch the border of his garment, immediately her issue of blood was to be stanched. She believed this. This is why she ventured. She had a little glimpse of the fullness there was in him that could heal her, far greater than all the physicians of this earth. And oh, how she ventures to touch him. And you look how he was pleased to heal her. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me." We think of dear Mr. Clement Wood, you know, preaching from that once, but somebody hath touched me. And I shall never forget what he said, "Are you and am I among these somebody that have touched him? For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how he had healed her. She was healed immediately. And then he speaks to her. You see here in this wonderful case, the great fullness of healing that he had. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Sung of it, didn't we, just now? And that healing must come from the dear Redeemer. 'Tis he that heals thy sicknesses and makes thee young again. And oh, he did it for this dear woman. He said unto her, "Daughter," he's claiming her, one of his dear children, "daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Of course, many sermons could be preached on those precious words, but may the Holy Spirit this afternoon whisper them to some poor needy sinner that needs that healing. But just to tarry upon this fullness of his of healing that flows from the dear Redeemer. We need healing in many ways in our bodies, don't we? And some of us have proved the power of his healing, that healing virtue like the dear woman did. But we need healing in our souls. The hymn writer said, "Heal the festering sores of sin and make us young again." Oh, there are many festering sores within us, aren't there? And it's only the fullness of his healing that can heal those festering sores. And the Lord knows how many feel the plague within you today. But he can give that healing. You can go through the Gospels and you'll see how many precious souls he healed. The blind men we named this morning, and others, you see, Peter's wife's mother, and others that he healed. The man sick of the palsy, where he said to him, "Take up thy bed and walk." And oh, how the Lord healed him in his soul from all his sin. Well, it's easier when the Saviour was questioned concerning the healing of that dear man. Well, it's easier to say, "Take up thy bed and walk," or "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And you say the Lord's fullness of healing, it is so manifested throughout his word. Oh, it is. His power. He's the all-wise physician, skillful and exceeding kind. And he's still the same poor soul. And that, and then what's so wonderful about this fullness, you see, it's still the same today as it was when the dear Apostle Paul wrote it to the church in Colossae. Oh, it is. But I must hasten. Then there's a wonderful fullness in the dear Redeemer of wisdom. Oh, he's made unto his dear people, as the Apostle said in writing to the Corinthians, he's made unto us wisdom. And who is it that needs wisdom? It's poor, foolish sinners. Those that feel their foolishness, their ignorance. Lord, do make us wise unto salvation. We don't want, though it is wonderful to receive it, and we're thankful in this nation and many nations of the earth where there are men and women wonderfully blessed with natural wisdom. And it's to be valued, but oh, to have that wisdom in our souls. Whoso is wise, you see, the psalmist said, and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. If you go through Psalm 107, oh, you look at the places they came into. And what was one of the reasons he brought them into those places, and how they had to cry unto the Lord and he delivered them? It was to make them wise unto salvation. Oh, it was. We are told in Proverbs, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame is the promotion of fools. Oh, that we may be eternally wise, wise to our standing, wise to discern the mind and will of the Lord, that heavenly wisdom, and it all flows through a precious Jesus. What did the psalmist say, dear Moses, in Psalm 90? So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Who was that wisdom he was speaking of, dear Moses, in that beautiful psalm? It was none other than the dear Lord Jesus. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, apply our hearts to the dear Redeemer. So there's a wonderful fullness of wisdom. You think of the wisdom the Saviour used in speaking to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, to the enemies of the truth, the wisdom he manifested when they questioned him for healing on the Lord's day. And he said to them, and shows how the wisdom was so manifested in the Saviour, he said, which of you, having an ox or an ass fallen into a pit, would he not get him out on the Sabbath day? And just as the Saviour healed on the Sabbath day, so would they have gone and got their ox or their ass out. He silenced them immediately. And poor soul, oh, if you need wisdom, and you dear children, and maybe in learning, school and in exams, you say to the Lord, Lord, we've got no wisdom of ourselves, but thou canst give us that wisdom to answer the questions, to do what is right in these things. And you see, it all flows through the dear Lord Jesus, the fullness of wisdom that's found in him. And oh, that we may be eternally wise and seek that good hope beyond the grave. But much further could be said, but I must hasten. And then another point that I would just briefly name is this, where we need the Lord to fulfill this text. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, the fullness of strength. You know, we're poor worms of the earth, aren't we? Weak characters. We know some, naturally, some are a lot stronger than others, but you know, with the real child of God, so often, like the psalmist said, he weakened my strength in the way. And there are things that come upon you, and even upon, maybe upon you, dear children, maybe affliction, and it weakens you, don't you? You've got no strength. Us that are older, especially as we get older, we've not got the strength we once had. But, you know, there's a blessed place you can go to draw strength. And looking at it particularly spiritually, how we need the Lord to wonderfully strengthen us. Oh, we do. And, you know, there's some precious promises in the Word of God, in my mind, if I may just briefly turn to them. We think of that beautiful word in the Deuteronomy where the Lord spoke, didn't he? That sacred word, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know, we often think we have strength and might for today, but the Lord didn't say that. As thy days. You've got to come into that day, poor soul, to prove that he's thy strength. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. The hymn writer took it up in his strength equal to the day. But oh, he's promised to strengthen his dear people. And when do they need it? When they're weak in faith, they need their faith strengthened. When they're weak in love, they need their love strengthened. When they're weak in body, they need the Lord to strengthen them. And we think of those beautiful promises, and I name just these. We think of that beautiful word in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And then listen. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And oh, how many times the Lord is pleased to strengthen his dear people through their journey here below. It may be by the text that is preached from. Just the text alone is such a strength to the child of God. It may be a line of a hymn. Or it may be something during the sermon, a sentence or a word that is quoted. And it's such a strength. Oh, the fullness of strength there is in the dear Redeemer. The apostle said, when I am weak, then am I strong. But he further said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He knew where his strength was. You think of what he had to endure of persecution. You think of what he had to endure when he was in prison. You think of what he had to endure when they were shipwrecked. But oh, the Lord gave him that strength he needed, both of body and of soul, and strengthened him in faith and in the vital things of God. They were strong in faith, giving God the glory. But then, just briefly, what a mercy it is, the Lord in his fullness is strong in protecting his people. There's a wonderful fullness of protection We sing in the hymn, don't we, a sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand. And what a mercy it is we have this sovereign protector. And he alone can protect you from the onslaughts of Satan. He alone can protect you from the onslaughts of men or evildoers. He alone can protect you from your own deceitful heart. The fullness of his protection. Oh, how comprehensive it is. But I'll leave that for your meditation. But then, just briefly, and then I must leave it. Three things, really. First, the fullness of comfort there is to his dear people. You think of the sorrowing disciples. I named it in prayer where he said to them in all their sorrow, two things that stand out as I name it to you this afternoon. First, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, what beautiful words, aren't they? Oh, what words throughout Holy Scripture are such a comfort to the Lord's dear people. It may be there are those of you this afternoon, you need that heavenly comfort, and he alone can grant it. And that fullness, poor soul, of comfort flows forth into the sinner's heart from the dear Redeemer. But then, peace. Oh, what a blessed thing that is. Peace and joy. Well, take the joy first. I named just now the two things the Saviour said. And I named the first, I will not leave you comfortless. The second is this. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And oh, we read of those that knew great joy in the word of God. They knew the joy, the sweet presence of the Saviour with them, the comfort that he gave them, the encouragement he gave them. And oh, the joy there was in their hearts, like the dear disciples after the resurrection. Oh, they were full of joy. And then with that joy, peace. And oh, what a mercy it is that through the fullness of a precious Jesus flows peace. Peace to the troubled heart. Peace be still, he said, didn't he, so many times in his words, into the woman we read of just now in Luke 8. Go in peace. And oh, that we may, as we come down to the swellings of Jordan, and in the swellings of Jordan, have that sweet peace within, the presence of the dear Redeemer. Peace by his cross as Jesus made. When thou canst no deliverance see, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. And oh, think of the joy of heaven, where congregations ne'er break up and Sabbaths have no end. Well, I've scratched around the surface of this today. May the text be life and power to us each, and may it be so applied to us as we venture into the new year if we're spared. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And it's a word you can face the devil with, because he's got no answer to that fullness. He's a chain for hope. Well, may the joy and peace of his presence be with us now. And in the swellings of Jordan, and the joy of heaven be tasted here below. Well, may the Lord forgive my poor feeble attempts and bless his own word for his name's sake. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting this evening in the chapel at 6:30. Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach on Wednesday evening at 7:00, and Mr. Adrian Pickett on Christmas morning, Friday morning at 9:30. And God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 184. A fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. Hymn 184.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we do pray that thou wilt forgive anything that has been amiss in our worship this day, and do be with the dear friends as they gather this evening for prayer. Do hear and answer those prayers, we pray. And oh, do help us to look to thee for all that we need. Do bless thy own word. And oh, may we sweetly draw from that fullness as we venture on in the journey that abides in thee, whatever we need for time and for eternity. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.